What I'm about to describe is happening on liberal TV stations all across America. This is just a local example. A few months ago, WRAL-TV in Raleigh ran a hit piece on Parker's Barbecue in Wilson. Apparently, some jackleg from afar had stopped by for a takeout order at Parker's and felt offended when the person passing out his order through the window wasn't wearing a mask. The order was enclosed in a bag, and the person handing him the order was at least 6 feet away. If this man was offended, he needed only refuse the food, accept a refund, and drive off somewhere else to practice his activism. Instead of that option, he chose to call WRAL-TV and lodge a complaint. Apparently, it was a slow news day because Channel 5 used this person's personal pique to stir up a controversy. Fortunately, the patrons of Parker's Barbecue rebelled at this affront, and Parker's business skyrocketed. I'm sure that was not expected by the WRAL reporter. What could have been a damaging hit piece on a local business turned out to be a godsend for Parker's and a black eye for WRAL. I grew up in Wilson. Parker's was a great place to eat and remains so today. They've kept their prices low, and even so, our family in the 50s hardly ever were able to go there. Today, Ann and I drive to Wilson several times a year to eat at Parker's. Their fried chicken is as close to my mama's as it can get. WRAL shot at Parker's and missed. The damage was not to Parker's, but WRAL's reputation. Let's fast forward to a few days ago. WRAL was back on the prowl. They took issue with the North Carolina seafood restaurant claim that they sold local seafood. Cullen Browder, the reporter on the hit piece, pointed out that not every piece of seafood sold there was local. Some came in from other areas. Technically, he was right. The owner, Kemp Pendergrast, is struggling, like every other small business, to find help, and his suppliers are also struggling. It is not always possible to get everything local delivered, not just to the farmer's market, but for any seafood restaurant anywhere, and not just in North Carolina. The Channel 5 hit piece did not even hint that the seafood wasn't FDA approved and safe, which it was. They just took issue with the claim of local. But WRAL is a hypocrite. They advertise that they present local news and that in many cases it is live. But it isn't. More often than not, the reporter is outside the studio and they are live. But the report is only partially live. The reporter sets up the intro live, but then the rest of the report is pre-taped, not live at all. Why does that make a difference? Well, it doesn't make a difference unless you are looking for a label to hang on it. Such was the case of the hit piece on Farmers Market Seafood. The owner of the restaurant is Kemp Pendergrast, and in full disclosure, Kemp is a friend of mine. I know firsthand how difficult his task is these days. He's working 12 to 15 hours a day because he can't find employees. His suppliers apologize for their lack or lateness of food deliveries because they too can't find people willing to work. Biden's government and our governor's state government literally pay these people not to work. And it's a great hardship on businesses. They don't need WRAL to pile on them with nonsensical stories. I urge you to support the North Carolina Farmers Market Seafood Restaurant. The food is great, and the prices are fair. When you stop in, you'll find Kemp behind the register, working away. Be sure and assure him of your support. Tell him Tom Joyner has his back. and you do too. As for WRAL-TV, our family has stopped watching it. We find it to be far too liberal. Americans have had it too easy for too long. That's caused many to veer off into fantasy. Instead of appreciating the freedom we have versus the rest of the world, there are calls for socialism, which leads to communism and the loss of freedom. Instead of recognizing the steps that have been made to correct errors of the past, many want to degrade our country for not being perfect. Not one of America's detractors is perfect themselves. Ignoring their own perfection, they seek to divide and destroy the greatest country in the history of the world. For instance, one of America's greatest sins was slavery. But it was not invented in America. Slavery began in Africa, where Africans captured and sold their own people. Sadly, our country did succumb to the lure of free labor. But Africa is getting a pass by those who place the blame for slavery on the United States. Should black Americans have to pay reparations to the victims of African slavery? If not, why not? When that's being demanded of white Americans who never owned a slave or engaged in slavery in any form. If we go far enough back in history, every ethnic group must be held accountable. If any group today is to be held accountable, America did not invent slavery. America ended slavery with the loss of more than 600,000 white men who went to war to free the slaves. Critics of the United States ignore that fact. In Africa today, slavery is still in vogue in many countries. Do black lives matter only in the United States? Black or white, they have every right to appreciate the strides made in America to right the wrongs of the past, not just slavery. Then we move on to another favorite pastime of those who seek to divide us. God created two genders, male and female. All of the other gender calls were created by mankind. The idea that each person can create their own gender by simply imagining it to be so is a flight of fancy. The use of racism as a bludgeoning tool has us at each other's throats. According to the race baiters, I hate someone just because they have black skin and I'm white. How silly is that? Supposedly, according to these race mongers, I spend my time trying to find ways to hold back black people. The fact is that I spend nary a minute opposing people with a different skin color. Are there people who do? Out of more than 350 million Americans of all colors, it is unthinkable that there are not a few crackpots among us, white and black. But the great majority of Americans, black and white, have greater problems to occupy our time. Educating our kids in a climate of critical race theory, where they're being indoctrinated with hate. A climate where public education teachers seek to explain sex to our children as young as six. What is that teacher's sexual orientation? What biases and prejudices do those teachers have? This is an area for parents, not a classroom. We have a pandemic raging in our country. People are dying. More are suffering. Many refuse the vaccine that could give us all a better shot at avoiding COVID, or at least having far less side effects from it. There's more problems for us to deal with, but just these are enough to consume our thoughts. The only people who have time to play the race card are the race baiters. This is so important to deal with that I continue to broach the subject. For the last few months, I've been doing research on the greatest danger facing America today. It is not COVID-19. We have a vaccine for that and more help to come. It is not China, Russia, Iran, or North Korea, although each of them do present challenges to our country. No, the greatest danger confronting us is ourselves. I share credit for today's commentary with Frosty Wooldridge of Education Views, Dennis Prager of Real Clear Politics, and Julie Price of MIC.com for their research and input. We have allowed the myth about America's racism to flourish until people who ought to know better have swallowed the lie, hook, line, and sinker. I only ask today that you take off your sanctimonious hat and open your mind. If you're black, put aside the rhetoric spewing from those who use division to remain in power. If you are white, accept that in the past America committed many racial sins. Yes, it was more than 150 years ago, but memories are fresh given that they are constantly being stoked by people who use race as a blunt object. But the fact is that there is not institutional or systemic discrimination against black people in America today. You will not hear what I will detail you today from a cowardly mainstream media. The Democrat Party will never tell you about this because the division of Americans along racial lines has kept them in power. Even most Republicans shy away from telling you the truth out of fear that they will be attacked. I suffer no such hesitancy. While I will stand shoulder to shoulder with any black American who is being truly discriminated against, I will not help perpetrate the lie that white people are all racists. Recently, on ABC News, I watched a young black foster girl ask to be adopted by the white family she was living with. That request was not only granted, but the entire white family embraced her in tears. How could such a racist white family do such a thing? Because they were not racists. White, yes, but not racists. Compared to the assertions we hear today, in the last half a century, America has gone to untold lengths to support and assist its black community. During this time, American society has launched countless programs and initiatives and spent hundreds of billions of dollars aimed specifically at uplifting the black American demographic. The support that the black community receives from American society comes in every form imaginable: legislative, financial, educational, commercial, human, and material. To ensure that there is no systemic or institutional discrimination, America went so far as to implement affirmative action and racist quotas in education, employment, government, contracts, housing, and other areas of life. This means that our laws and codes of conduct grant more protection, privileges, and guarantees to black people than they do to their white counterparts. So eager and willing has America been to elevate its black minority that it actually subjected the majority to reverse discrimination. To redeem itself and correct legacy of past discrimination, the United States has bent over backwards to advance its black population. The amount of resources, protection, and goodwill that America's black minority receives from our society is completely unprecedented in the annals of world history. Nowhere in the world do black people enjoy more freedom and greater financial, employment, and educational opportunities than they do in the United States. This is the reason so many black people from all over the globe seek to come and live in this country. So great are the numbers that we can accept only a tiny fraction of those who wish to live here. If America is such a racist and oppressive nation, why would they want to come here so badly? The reason they want to come is because they know that America treats black people well, and that nowhere else in the world do black people have it as good as they have it here in America. When black people, whose vision has not been distorted by the demagoguery of the so-called self-appointed civil rights leaders, look at America, they see a society that displays enormous generosity and goodwill towards its black population. They look at America and see a country that awarded the most coveted, powerful, and prestigious job in the world, the presidency of the United States, to a black man, not once, but two times. Would a nation filled with racists ever do something like that? Conversely, we do not hear stories of black Americans leaving this racist and oppressive country and then returning with tales of lands where black people lead better lives, with more freedom, affluence, and dignity. It doesn't happen. Let us hear of one nation where black people receive more freedom and protection than in the United States of America. Tellingly, no one can find a single, predominantly black country where its citizens enjoy more rights and affluence than black people in the United States. Isn't it paradoxical that the United States treats its black citizens better than black nations treat their own? The immense links involving both effort and treasure into which this society has gone to help and accommodate black Americans are surely worth pondering. In a healthy society, this would draw at least sporadic expressions of gratitude and appreciation. Nobody is suggesting that some black Americans have been mistreated by some white Americans. But then again, some white Americans have been mistreated by black Americans. Nobody is living in slavery in America anymore. If truth be told, black Americans are the most favored and legally privileged demographic in American society today, enjoying the benefits of a host of protective measures and mechanisms incorporated into the fabric of our societal existence means that black Americans are neither systematically oppressed nor are they institutionally discriminated against. And if someone tries that, there are a host of laws that come into play to address it. An eye-opening expression of this took place recently during an anti-racism protest in Washington, D.C. There, a local black woman named Nestride Yomga confronted a group of protesters promulgating their stock racist slogans against this country. In the course of the exchange, this black woman chastised a white protester. She said, "You say blacks are oppressed. I am black, and I am not oppressed. I am free. Stop forcing people to accept that they are oppressed. You are forcing a rhetoric into their minds, which is not true. Shame on you. I am free, standing in front of them with outstretched arms." Nestride's words had a stunning effect that left the startled demonstrators groping for a reply. The impact of her words was so powerful because she said that she was obviously and deniably telling the truth. Turning toward the black members of the crowd, she scolded them, saying, "You guys are not oppressed. You're lazy. That's all it is. Go get jobs. Work for a living. Blindsided by this unexpected petard of sharp truth, the dazed demonstrators weakly attempted a couple of hollow cliches and some heckling by way of response. Hit with such a healthy dose of reality, they were unable to mount any kind of coherent answer. This brave black woman's reproof ripped off the cloak of righteous falsehood from their faux cause, and they stood there, exposed, clutching pitiably to the shreds of their specious lies. Befuddled and confused, they packed up their protest paraphernalia and left. As they retreated, this intrepid lady sent them on their way with her last salvo. You guys have been cowards. But what about the issue of systemic police brutality against black Americans, an example of which we witnessed in the lamentable death of George Floyd? It had been repeatedly demonstrated, however, that such incidents are actually very rare and not a manifestation of perverse racism in our law enforcement. For instance, in 2019, 10 unarmed black Americans were shot dead by police officers in the United States, 10 of them. 9 of them had serious criminal records. On the other hand, on May 31, 18 black people were murdered in the city of Chicago by mostly black criminals. More black people are thus shot and killed by black people in one day, in one city, than there are killed by the police across the United States in one whole year. The talk that we sometimes hear of the police committing black genocide is absurd beyond belief. In truth, a policeman is about 15 times more likely to be killed by a black man than to kill a black man. And most of the small number of black men killed annually by the police are dangerous felons who are killed in the process of committing a crime. Moreover, more white people are shot by the police than black people. And likewise, more white people die in arrest-related incidents than black people. The narrative that the police routinely round up peaceful black men in their streets is a complete myth that no one in their right mind can believe, including black people themselves. According to Pew Research, more than half of black Americans have a lot or at least some confidence in the police. That's remarkable given the lies spread about law enforcement. As a point of comparison, less than one-third of the American population approves of the way Congress is handling its job. In other words, far more black Americans have confidence in the local policeman than they have in their elected representatives in Washington. Most upright black Americans want our law enforcement and government officials to take a strong stance against lawlessness, no matter by whom it is perpetrated. The latest evidence of this was Donald Trump's record approval rating among likely black voters in the wake of all the riots. Tellingly, Donald Trump was one of the few government officials who did not pander to the looting mobs. The question then is, given all the financial, legislative, educational, and human resources that have been poured into the black community over the decades, why is the black community not thriving? Why, after all these years of immense effort and investment, is the black community still plagued with so many troubles and difficulties? The answer is not racism, police brutality, or discrimination. The reason why the black community is so troubled is the moral breakdown that has eroded its large portions, especially those in inner cities. Data shows that more than 75% of black babies are born to single mothers. Why is that the fault of white people? And from those 25% who are born to parents who are married, fewer still grow up in adulthood with both biological parents present. This means that the majority of young black people grow up in broken or dysfunctional homes. In any racial demographic, that by itself would be a problem with catastrophic consequences. And the statistics are indeed devastating. Consider the following facts. Children from fatherless families are 5 times more likely to grow up in poverty and commit crime. Children from father-absent homes are nearly 3 times more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than those living with fathers. They are also 9 times more likely to drop out of school. Worse yet, young people from broken families are 20 times more likely to go to prison. I ask again, how is any of that the fault of white people? Back in 1965, the black illegitimacy rate was 25%. Today, it is more than 3 times that high. Sadly, the destruction of the black nuclear family has been to a great degree affected and facilitated by government, which creates incentives for this by providing cash payments and an array of benefits to single mothers. What hope can there be for young people growing up in broken homes, which are often negligent and abusive, while being submerged in such a toxic culture? We see the tragic result of it in the looting mobs that are vandalizing and burning American cities today. The pandemonium they have unleashed is not the culture of white racism or police brutality. It is the inevitable outcomes of the illegitimacy, broken culture, and moral decline that has unraveled the moral fiber of large swaths of the black demographic. While the United States is being called racist, where does the U.S. rank among the world's most racist countries? A study by 2 Swedish economists shed light on the world's most and least racially tolerant countries, and the results may surprise you. While the United States is ranked among the most tolerant on the globe, Europe presents a greater range of tolerance levels, with several countries in the second and third least tolerant ranges. The study was aimed at discerning a correlation between a country's level of economic freedom and its racial tolerance. The latter was defined by one simple question: whom would you not want as a neighbor? Those who selected people of other races were categorized as intolerant for the purpose of this investigation. Countries were then ranked by percentages of responses. The fewer intolerant responses, the more tolerant the country. According to this information, the United States falls into the most tolerant category. Back in 1960, Martin Luther King said this: "Black supremacy is as dangerous as white supremacy, and God is not interested merely in the freedom of black men. God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race and in the creation of a society where all men can live together as brothers." I'm white. I didn't grow up using the N-word or hating black people. If you didn't grow up hating white people and calling us crackers, we have more in common than you might think. Thank you for listening today. How many people do you know who are willing to address this danger to America? I have a clear conscience, and so I'm free to speak the truth. I'll be back again, God willing, next weekend, same time, same station, and God bless America.